This program is brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you like what you hear and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.
Thank you. Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. And it's Engineers Week. So we welcome Sarah Nicol, Chief Stoker with the of the engineers at Resonance.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have Francisco in the house, because he's usually Friday's engineer.
Yes, but you're sidestepping it already. You see, I've introduced you, and straight away, you've tried to talk about somebody else.
Sorry.
So, come on, false modesty, Sarah.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
What is your role here? What are you?
General manager.
Studio manager.
General manager.
Okay.
So, essentially, that's overseeing the overall broadcast. Live, pre-recorded, otherwise, and of Resonance FM as an operation, basically.
Right. How long have you been doing that?
It's kind of mutated into the role over the period of the last... I've been on staff for 4 years.
Really? Okay. Yeah. So you are one of the few paid members of the staff, as
yeah.
it were. How many are there? What, three?
Well, there's three full-timers, Ed Baxter, right. Pete Lansley and myself.
Right.
We recently lost Michael Umney, Lord Ummers.
Lord Ummers, I haven't heard that before.
It's good, isn't
Why
it?
Is he Lord Ummers? Because he had a posh accent.
Yeah.
But you had a double-barreled name, so I always assumed you were an aristocrat.
Lol.
It used to be Nicol Selden, it was.
Yeah, there's quite, yeah. That was my married name.
Ah.
And I adopted that. I've been Sarah Nicol forever.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want to take my husband's name fully. I didn't want to be Sarah Selden. Right. I don't like the sibilance of the S's.
Sarah Nicol Selden. Too many S's?
Sarah Selden. I never wanted to be Sarah Selden.
Right.
I don't like the two S's.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want to lose the Nicol. You know, it's me. It's who I am.
Okay.
So I adopted the Selden, and then we broke up. But I used to say, someone asked me why I put the double barrel there, and I was like, well, you know, relationships, they last, they might last, they might not last. If we break up, it's just easy to lose the Selden at the end. You don't have to worry about it. It's kind of...
So you dropped the Selden now.
Yeah, so I've always been the Sarah Nicol. So.
Right. Okay. And so you are the core staff of Resonance, you three.
Pete, Ed and myself.
I mean, listeners might not know, but I mean, all the programme makers are volunteers, as it were. Nobody gets paid to do a programme out of the hundreds of people that do programme.
Yeah.
And then you have these engineers.
Yeah.
Who are roughly how many?
Generally ballpark figure of 30.
30? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's temps and... people who do fixed shifts, basically.
Okay.
And we have three shifts a day, doing like about 4 or 5 hour runs each.
And this is supposed to be Engineers Week this week, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a sort of
celebrating engineers and the work they put into.
Okay.
A lot of the time, listeners may or may not know that when a program is going out, the engineer will be monitoring all the sounds and the knobs and everything on the desk while the showmakers present their show.
Yeah.
And then when a program maker like yourself, William, who runs his own desk, will prep the studio for your requirements, basically.
Yeah, and set up things like the cassette deck. I'm probably one of the few people that uses a cassette deck. Are there a few?
There's a couple. We have two cassette decks, one in each studio.
Okay.
Sometimes we'll bring them.
So the engineers are also volunteers?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How does that work then? They're like interns or something, or they just kind of turn up?
Yeah, a bit of both. Like yourself, you kind of, people have, people may want to get into sound engineering, for example.
Uh-huh.
And so we'll come in and learn the basics of sound engineering because, we have bands here. So we have a sound desk upstairs to mix bands.
Right. So people get work experience or whatever.
Yeah. And it can springboard, it can springboard into...
Into what?
Well, anything, I guess. Okay. Well, if I look at, say, a list of ex-engineers, for example, we have... first one comes to name mind is Claudio, and do you remember him?
I remember the name. I'm trying to picture him.
A good-looking young Italian guy.
Right. Yeah.
He studied sound, but for a while he couldn't get work when you're fresh out of school and stuff. So yeah. This is a really good kind of springboard, I guess.
Okay.
And so he came in here and he was just really natural at what he did. But he was just like having the experience every he was here quite a few days a week. So yeah.
But you're an engineer too.
Yeah, that's how I started.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I wanted to be in a band when I was a kid,
right.
But could never. I was too lazy to be in a band, so I hung out with them instead and said, "I'll mix your band."
Right. Okay. That's how you started here. As a voluntary engineer. Before that, what did you do?
I was 15 years in TV as a sound person.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which TV was that?
Lots of morning television, GMTV. I was there for 5 years.
Oh, right. Okay. So you're quite unusual in that you had a lot of sound experience before you actually started
And broadcast experience.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And basically, I was freelance for a while, and the happened in 2008.
What happened in 2008?
When the money disappeared.
The crash, that old thing. Yeah. Oh, yeah, when all people sort of...
Lost jobs and
stocks and shares plummeted.
So I was one of those.
Oh, that little hiccup.
Yeah. So I didn't have work and I was bored and I kept trying to apply for jobs and couldn't find anything at all.
Okay.
And I wanted to change as well. I wanted to get out of television. I wanted to come back to radio because I enjoy radio as a medium.
Right.
So
this is all in London?
This is all in London, yeah.
Okay.
So I'd already been here for 7 years working on TV.
Right. Okay. So were you trying to be in television then? Originally, you were sort of like a TV person? Because you say getting back to radio. So you must have... You were started in radio? And then...
Yeah, I started in radio back in New Zealand.
Uh-huh. So you're from New Zealand.
Yep.
We should say that.
Yep.
Which I haven't said yet.
Don't have an accent. Private joke.
Yes. And I should say now that first track was supposed to be sort of appropriate. It's called Journey Number One, a musique concrète style collage of sound recordings recorded by someone called Jack Ellett, or culled from film sound libraries. The record it comes from was pressed in 1954, but it is believed the recording itself was made in the early 1930s.
Wow.
When Ellett was working on a film with Len Lai, who is the famous New Zealander abstract avant-garde filmmaker.
Mm.
And he was working on a film with Len Lai that evoked space travel. And the unfinished film, whose working title was Quicksilver, was an on-off, on-again, off-again project in London from 1930 to 1934. So we were sort of, it seemed to have a New Zealand connection. Because I know that you're from New Zealand.
Mm.
What brought you from New Zealand to London? How did that start?
It's a kind of a rite of passage, I guess, because we're such an isolated country so far away from the rest of the world. And aside from the Maori heritage of New Zealand, the settler side of New Zealand is all basically English, Scottish. And so when you have that heritage and you have that Western culture in your face all the time, you want to explore the rest of the world and see where you're heritage is from.
Right.
So I'm from the very bottom part of New Zealand, a place called Invercargill, which is the southernmost city in the world.
Really? Oh, right. That's interesting.
It's cold and windy.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that getting towards Antarctica then?
Yeah. Well,
Antarctica. If you went the other way, you'd have...
I have Raynaud's disease.
Raynaud's disease?
Raynaud's.
Oh, Raynaud's.
Circulation.
Yes. Yeah. Morris always used to call it Raynaud's disease. I don't know why, but Raynaud's. Mm. Yeah, bad circulation.
Mm.
You needed some heated gloves, didn't you?
Yeah, didn't have heating.
Okay. So that's where you were born? You were born there?
Invercargill, and that was settled by the Scots in the 1840s, 1850s. So Nicol was a Scottish surname.
Right. So were your parents, did they go from Scotland to New Zealand?
Or no. I'm like fifth generation New Zealand.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So my parents never travelled. but anyway, within our generation and some a couple of generations before me, hold that interest to explore the world because we're from this part of the world originally, and you want to see where you're from and see the history. Right. We don't have that type of history in New Zealand, so it's a rite of passage to go travelling, and everyone does it. Everyone does at least 2 years living in London, pretty much.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, right. And except your parents.
Yeah.
They decided to stay where they were. Okay. What did your parents do?
Dad was a very bad plumber, quite a bad gambler. And
a gambler?
Yeah. And mum was a nurse and an alcoholic.
Right. Okay, gambling and alcoholism. That's why you came to England. So are they well?
Dad died many years ago, and mum, she's all right.
Okay.
She checks in occasionally.
You're in touch with her?
Yep, I saw her when I was out in New Zealand. We hung out in Christchurch and experienced an earthquake together. It's quite nice.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Right. What did your dad gamble on, by the way, down there?
Oh, the horses.
Okay. So there was a racetrack even down there?
Yeah.
Or is it those is it those things with the wheels, whatever you call it? Like, what are they called?
The trots.
Trots.
Yeah.
Was it that trotting race?
Yeah, he was really big into the trots.
Right. Okay. So, all right. Well, that's interesting. Well, we got some background now. Okay.
So the whole wanting to travel thing is just, it's like it's born into you. You just want to explore the world. And I think it's due to the isolation as well. We're so far away from the rest of the world, and yet you know exactly what the rest of the world is doing through TV and radio and internet and everything. So you just want to, you suffer FOMO, don't you? So you want to have a piece of it. So, so you come out, and I always, from a really young age, just was obsessed with London. Uh-huh. I blame EastEnders.
Yeah. Did you see EastEnders in New Zealand?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, right. So you were watching EastEnders in New Zealand. And that made you want to come to London.
Well, no,
I think I'd stay in New Zealand if I'd watched that.
That was one of the reasons.
You must have thought, not Downton Abbey then.
My aspiration for London.
Okay. You looked towards the market and the Queen Vic. This is what
you
had in mind.
Get out of my pub, slinger up. So for me, it was more music from England. But I was just obsessed for whatever reason. I don't know why. Just obsessed with London. And I was always coming to live in London. But I thought, like anyone, I probably wouldn't live here for long. I'd just come here for the 2 years because, you get your two-year visa and you come over here and have a bit of an overseas experience. And and the 2 years turned into 5 years, turned into 7 years, and having a pretty good time. And then ex-hubby and I did go back to New Zealand for a couple of years and then just went, London, let's go back.
Yeah. Okay. How old were you when you moved from New Zealand?
See, I was quite old. I was 31.
Right.
So, okay. I hadn't really done any travelling at all up until that point. I'd been to Australia.
Right. And what were you doing in New Zealand?
Working in television. At the time.
Oh, right. So you've always been in the media then.
Yeah. As it were. Since I was 19, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Started off in student radio.
Right. Okay.
Which is slightly different to student radio over here.
Yeah.
It's a bit more commercial and a bit more recognisable than what student radio is over here.
Right, right.
Not similar to this at all. Did that, and then I mixed live bands, DJs. I kind of did what I do now.
Yeah, basically. And you are a sort of DJ as well? Yeah. I mean, I shouldn't say sort of DJ. You are a DJ.
Yeah, yeah. I play
out. You play clubs and things.
Yeah, play out. Yeah, I'm going to help a friend out tonight at the Gowlett in South London.
Give it a plug. What's this? What's the event?
It's called Return to Forever. Friend Nuno's just arrived back from Portugal, and he has a monthly night down at the Gowlett in Peckham in South London.
Okay.
So one of his friends pulled out, and he's just sent me a text going, "You're coming to help me play." So.
Right.
So it's going to be fun.
Yeah. So you take along your records and do a set.
Yeah.
And what's your show on Resonance? You have a show on Resonance on Sundays?
Yeah, Nana Nicole's Cosmic Balearic Slop, which, yeah.
Nana Nicole? What's this?
Nana Nicole. Okay, my Nana Nicole. I absolutely adored my Nana Nicole. She was just so sweet and lovely, and she was a Sarah. So. So it's just in homage to her, really.
So she was back in New Zealand.
Yeah, she was really old. Like Dad was like the youngest of seven children, and I think he was born when she was like in her mid 40s or something. So
right.
And Dad was an old dad for my generation. Like, he wasn't in his 20s when I was born, and I was the oldest. So.
Okay, so your mother had troubles and your father was a gambler, so it sounds like maybe your grandmother was the guiding light or something? Or is that exaggerating too much?
Maybe. I don't
you
know.
You have a sentimental connection with her?
Well, I do, because she was just this lovely kind of solid...
Right.
There was never any telling off, or she was never... She was just mellow and calm and very just lovely. But because she died when I was quite young, so I don't really know her or her background, or apart from that she was a farm girl and grew up on the farm and then got married and had seven children, as you do when you are born in 1900 kind of thing.
But
she just had this really lovely energy, and she was very kind of. I guess she died when I was 14, 15.
Right.
She got really sick, but she was one of the only people in my family who said you can do whatever you choose to do, and if you have a dream, just go for it, which for an older woman of that generation was just really lovely to hear. And none of my other family were supportive in that way. So it was her. So and she is Sarah Nicole, so that's why I became Nana Nicole.
Right.
Also, it's good for an aging lady like myself. Never gets old.
I'm not going to mention. Okay, we won't go into age. It's all right.
I was just kidding. Just a joke.
All right. Well, on my way here, not quite on my way here, but about an hour ago, I was walking along the South Bank, and there's a guy there who does poems. He does a sort of, he's hire a poet, and he sits on the South Bank with a typewriter. Types out a poem, so I got him to type out this poem for you, which you might like to. You could read it out if you like.
Nice, Sarah. I like how I like the typing.
Good. It's an old-fashioned typewriter. Yeah, it's not a word processor.
So this is typed, and he's got down the side.
Yes.
Is Sarah, and then Nicole, and it's in red.
So each line begins with I think there's a word for that. It might be an acrostic or something.
Signal engineers are the sexiest of the Resonance FM crew. A ship that sails through how to bring us nearer to the source of incantation. William Stepp, coughing will throw you overboard. Resonance listeners are sticklers.
Okay.
Had you not read it?
I had read it, yeah. I hadn't memorised it. So you can keep that. That poem's for you.
Oh, that's really sweet. But that's a nice sentiment for the engineers as well.
Well, it fits in with the journeying, doesn't it? With you having travelled across the world to be here. So then there was another sort of random connection, which maybe I'll just play... I'll just play a bit of this record.
Shall we do that?
Let's put this on, and that will lead nicely to something else.
So this is.
Well, that is a track from a jazz pianist. Well, it's a trio, or quartet even, by the jazz pianist Bill English.
Where's Bill English from?
America. But which, by coincidence, happens to be my name, William English, though I'm rarely called Bill.
Yeah, do you ever get called Bill?
I tend to discourage it.
Yeah.
I sort of, you know, no.
Yeah.
Not if I can help it.
Yeah.
Although some people...
Naturally,
they just start to say it and it sort of sticks with them. Then they start to say it, but not many.
It's funny because you don't suit it.
No, exactly. I don't feel
you're a William.
I don't feel like a Bill
at all.
But that's Bill English. What's the connection with New Zealand?
Well, this guy's definitely a Bill.
Right.
Bill English is the current Prime Minister of New Zealand. Wasn't voted in. He's been around forever.
How do you get to be Prime Minister if you're not voted in?
Well, Theresa May.
Right. So it's just by kind of default? The others didn't want the job or something?
No, John Key had three terms.
Ah.
He was the leader of the National Party, which is the equivalent of the Tories in New Zealand. And Bill English was his deputy.
Deputy, okay. So then he took over and he's still there? Can they not get rid
of it? Well, it's election year this year. And so John Key decided to dip out and step down. So Bill's taken over. So
is it essentially a Conservative Party? Are they the Conservatives over there?
Yeah, they're wreaking havoc. What's
the opposition? Who are they?
Labour.
There is a Labour Party.
Labour are pretty weak in New Zealand. It's hard to keep... It is hard to keep up with politics in New Zealand because it's so far away.
Right.
And... It's not like it's a country like America or any part of Europe that things are so in your face here. It's easy to kind of grab information.
Right.
It could be easy for me, but, you know, life's busy and da 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 da. Though when I'm in New Zealand, I get fully involved with what's going on in the politics here. But when you're out thousands of miles and it's 24 hours ahead, sometimes you just can't be bothered.
Right.
So I kind of lost interest.
Shall we hear this? You've got a piece of the other Bill English.
Yeah, there. And Bill English is from a small town near where I'm from.
Oh, right.
So
this is line two, isn't it?
Yeah.
We just had a great party conference, hundreds of enthusiastic volunteers, very keen, very proud of what they've achieved for New Zealand, but they know it's not enough. We've got to do more investing to support growth and spreading the benefits of that growth across the whole community. Party vote national. We just had a great party.
Full extent of it.
Yes. Did you understand that for a start?
Yeah, I could hear it. I mean, you were saying that the New Zealand accent is different from the Australian accent. I probably wouldn't pick up on it. It's
vowel sounds generally.
Yeah, it can cause offence, can't it? I remember a mechanic I once referred to him as being Australian, and he sort of put me straight. You know, he sort of said, "No, I'm from New Zealand." You know, and it was
New Zealand.
Right.
And anyway, yeah, you are.
Yeah, right. So,
So that was his. That was his conference wrap up for what are they called? The National Party, because they're going into electioneering. So that was his plea for you to vote National, and that does not make me want to vote National at all.
Right. No.
He's got no charisma whatsoever.
Right. Did you watch Top of the Lake?
Oh, I did.
Yeah. Is that an accurate portrayal of some parts of New Zealand life? Yeah.
Yeah, and no, but yeah, and no.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, as far as I remember...
And that's nearby where I'm from as well.
Is it? That region?
Yeah.
And is that typical landscape? I mean, is that fairly typical of the whole of New Zealand, that kind of landscape, unlike Australia, for example?
Yeah, in the South Island it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very dramatic. Very
so it's very lush.
Yeah,
and
beautiful and green and rainy and...
Sort of like paradise almost.
Yeah.
But then
it's kind of like Scotland. It's kind of like the highlands of Scotland, the South Island.
Right.
Whereas the North Island's different. It's subtropical in the north.
Okay.
And so it's more native plants like ferns and...
Right.
connected. But in terms of the mountains, you know, the mountains go through the whole spine of the country, and it's all very dramatic in the mountainous regions.
But the top of the lake is very much, I mean, it's sort of like a women's sort of commune, isn't it? Who are kind of, aren't they disrupted by these macho, barbaric sort of men?
Bogan men.
Yeah. Does that run through New Zealand society, that kind of thing?
Oh, it's very stoic and really macho culture. I mean, rugby, for example.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's our national sport. It's really, really macho, and it's all about nationalism and being proud and being stoic. And it's funny moving back a few years ago. I think we moved back in 2010 and we were there for 2 years, and I'd forgotten all about the macho culture of New Zealand, and I never liked it at all growing up. I really didn't like it. And then moving here, men are really just softer here, I think. Yeah. And so it kind of put that memory out of my mind, and then going back to that, it was just like, just constant competing and just puffing out chests and Richard, my husband, got into fights, and he doesn't fight. And
oh, really?
Well, it was just kind of, he got into a fight for, he was walking down Ponsonby Road, which is like West London, kind of Ponsy, lots of restaurants and stuff. And he had a cardigan on, and some random guy just came up to him and went, "You faggot."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So
okay.
It's just,
I think I'll stay here.
Wow,
gosh, yeah. Okay.
So top of the lake, when you see programs like that, of course it's all fiction, but underlying stories, stuff like that does happen, and men do behave like that, and it's a very stoic culture.
Okay. You mentioned the Maori culture. I really wanted to bring some Maori music, and I sort of looked through my record collection. And I didn't have anything at all.
I've got something.
Lots of Aboriginal stuff, but not. And I brought this book along. I don't know if this means anything to you whatsoever. Does that ring a bell with you?
No.
No. I was looking up New Zealand artists and came across this little book about Frances Hodgkins, the late work. And she seems to have been quite a significant New Zealand artist. She came to London and was quite influential in the 30s.
Okay.
You can have that little book if you want. Oh, it might be...
Definitely have a look at it.
Might be of interest at some point.
My thing was more music.
Right. Okay.
And DIY kind of alternative counterculture music.
And was there a scene? I mean, this town where you were.
There's a constant scene. No, not necessarily in Invercargill. People tend to move out of Invercargill for obvious reasons.
Right.
Because it's cold. It's conservative town. Yeah. There's no university there, for example. Ah. Da, 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 da.
Right. So what would be the nearest city that you kind
Dunedin, there was in the 80s a very flourishing punk and alternative new wave scene in the 80s.
Okay.
So, and that's the next stop, so that's like 3 hours drive away, for example. And I got really, really, really into the music of Dunedin and Christchurch, which I eventually moved to when I was 19. I moved to Christchurch.
Okay.
And there's this one record label that was really instrumental in indie music culture in the 80s called Flying Nun Records. And they released...
Called what record?
Flying Nun Records.
Flying Nun, right. Okay.
And they released a whole host of bands. Some, you know, bands like The Chills and The Clean were probably like the biggest bands on the label. But I was really influenced by this one man who brings us back to Len Lye.
Right.
His name's Chris Knox, and he's from my hometown as well. He is like the godfather of punk in New Zealand. He had a band called The Enemy, which were formed in Dunedin, then went on to form Toy Love with my friend Paul, who also has a band on the Flying Nun label called The Bats, and he taught me sound originally.
Amazing. Hmm. Okay. So shall we hear, do you want to play something of that?
Yeah, and Chris is a DIY, everything's recorded on a four-track recording artist, but he is big on animation.
Ah, so that's interesting, because Len Lye was a pioneer of sort of avant-garde animated film.
Yeah,
most people think of him. Well, he's called a British artist, but he was actually born in New Zealand. So strictly speaking, he is a New Zealander, really.
And he didn't leave New Zealand until he was about 24 or 25 as well.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because
okay.
he was born in 1901. And
oh, right. So he did a lot of work for the sort of the GPO film unit here
yeah.
and so on. Okay, so let's hear this track that you've... who's this by?
So this is the Tall Dwarfs. So this is Chris Knox and Alec Bathgate.
Okay.
And this is from about 1983.
Thank you. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Mm. I suppose the last... It was quite long for a punk track.
Well, this is post-punk. This is
post-punk. Kind of, yeah. Sound, it put me in mind a bit of a little bit Velvet Underground-y.
Oh yeah.
Do you think towards the last sort of half of it?
It's just more Chris Knox.
Oh, okay. That's right. So who was that again?
So that was the Tall Dwarves, and it's Chris Knox and Alec Barker.
That's funny because there was a very very short-lived Leicester group. Way, 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 way back, called the 10-foot-high Things, which is a sort of...
Oh, really?
It's a little bit sort of in that idea, isn't it?
Were they similar?
No, nothing like it. This is a long time ago. Anyway, yes, it's all dwarves.
Yeah, so, and Chris is from my hometown. He's like probably my ultimate New Zealand hero, I guess.
Who's this?
Chris Knox, the guy singing there.
Where is he now?
He's in Auckland. He lives in Grey Lynn, Hakanawa Street in Auckland.
Right.
A few years ago now, had a stroke. So he doesn't speak, but he still performs and just kind of makes noises because he's, and still does his art. Amazing man.
So did you go to clubs and play, did these people play in clubs and so on all like
live bands, yeah. Yeah, there was, by the time, because when I was growing up, the law to drink in New Zealand was 20 as opposed to 18. It's right. Now 18, uh-huh. And of course I looked really young when I was young, so I could never get into a pub if I tried. And plus I had braces on my teeth, so there's no chance. Right. So I couldn't go see bands until I was 20, unfortunately, because they only played in bars and stuff. But once I could, I was, in bars all week seeing bands.
Yeah.
Just pretty much Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, really.
Right.
And then I got involved with mixing bands, so I could...
Right. Are there any Maori bands, or is that a sort of a total... impossibility. I mean, I'm trying to think of a sort of like a homegrown music that is entirely of New Zealand, from New Zealand, as it were. Would there be anything like that?
In contemporary ways, yeah, for sure, definitely.
Okay.
Of course, there's loads of hip hop bands and reggae bands, and Herbs were a great protest band. They're made up of Maori and Polynesians. I don't know if in the 80s, New Zealand was really anti-nuclear. We're still anti-nuclear.
Right.
And the Americans wanted to bring nuclear ships into our waters.
Uh-huh.
And it was probably post the Springbok tour of 1981 was the biggest protest. Well, the French blew up the Greenpeace boat.
Oh,
I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
That was 85?
The French Navy, didn't they? Was it always a bit sort of sabotage thing people?
They were tried and sent away. The French government gave them a tick off and they got away with it, basically.
Yeah.
So they blew up this boat. What were their names? Elaine Maffar and... I can't remember the name. But anyway, so we were really anti-nuclear. We didn't want any nuclear boats. And at the time in the 80s, I don't remember, there was lots of testing in all the South Pacific regions. So the Americans were going, let's bring your boats in. And we're just like, we're not having this. Yeah. And because of that, America does not trade with New Zealand.
Is that right?
We can't go to America, for example, we can travel there, but you can't get working visas or anything like that.
Oh, right.
Because there's like, no.
So you're ahead of the Trump effect.
Yeah.
You're sort of banned before he got in.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So that's...
And when you play your DJ sets, do you... concentrate? Do you only play New Zealand music? Do you try and promote New Zealand music?
No, not at all. No. I did a few years ago, I did a show on here about New Zealand music, but no, that's not really my thing. I'm more into disco, left field disco, and cheesy stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cosmic disco man.
Okay.
No, I don't play New Zealand music at all.
So, what do you want? What else you got? Do you want to play something else? What's your next track?
I reckon I saw that you brought in that CD
Well, I brought in the CD of the first one came off something called Artifacts of Australian Experimental Music, 1930 to 1973, which just happened to have this New Zealand connection of Len Lai. I'm afraid there's nothing else on it, which is New Zealandish, really.
But you've got the William English Band.
Well, I've got the William English Band. We could play a snatch of that just because it fits in with Bill English, the jazz pianist.
Yeah.
Bill English, your Prime Minister, and me, William English.
And where's this William English?
Well, this William English is a thrash band, or was a thrash band.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
they were called. The cover doesn't lend itself to that at all.
Well, no, I think they can. No, they definitely were a thrash band. In fact, I had them on the program once. They came in. There were four of them, and they travelled in from Suffolk, and came here. I think they were a bit sort of bemused by the whole thing, and I thought it was very amusing that they were called William English. You know, I said, "Well, I'm William English," and they kind of raised their eyebrows as if to say, yeah, okay, so what? It was like, you know. And in fact, they named themselves after this. There was some subversive character, you know, going way back in history, something to do with the American Revolution, who was called William English, apparently. But anyway, this thrash band from Suffolk made some CDs, and they were around for about 3 years, but now they've disbanded. But we could play a snatch of that, if you like. Should we do that? Just to get a flavour of William English, who are no more.
Hundreds of enthusiastic volunteers, very keen, very proud of what they've achieved for New Zealand, but they know it's not enough. We've got to do more investing to support growth and spreading the benefits of that growth across the whole community. Party Vote National.
I never would have got a band called William English would sound like that.
No, they hadn't seen me before they made the record.
that's quite exciting, though.
Yes, it's all like that. The track was called Bud Vessel.
Yeah, so do you think if you were in New Zealand, you'd be voting for Bill English?
If I was in New Zealand?
Yeah, if you were living in New Zealand and after hearing that little bird, do you think he could convince you to...
With the combination of that music and the appeal to nationalism, you might be swayed, I suppose. But the record, actually, the CD is actually called Basic Human Error.
Okay.
That's the title of the CD.
Nice.
So I should just say you're listening to Resonance Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. And today's guest is Sarah Nicol, General Manager of Resonance. And she's on the show because it's Engineers Week, where we're also paying homage to the team of engineers, the people that keep Resonance working. And I brought in 6 cans of beer for you, didn't I?
Yeah, Foster's, nice one.
Yeah, not by choice. It just happened to have been left in our shop, so I thought I'll so move these on.
So he shelled out.
It's not my choice of beer. Speaking of Foster's, I mean, you have a connection with Australia. I mean, do you try and keep it at arm's length?
A lot of my friends actually live in Melbourne, like a lot of them. So I'm actually going to Melbourne next year to visit. I haven't been since 2002. It's a lovely city. I could not live in Australia, though. It's too much of a nanny state.
A what?
Nanny state.
A nanny state?
Yeah.
You don't like nanny states?
Well...
What do you mean? You don't want to be looked after?
No, it's not. It's more like what you can and can't do. Like you can't go.
Oh, it's a police state.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
So it's nanny as a policewoman. Okay.
So you can't drink alcohol on the streets, but you know,
right.
You can't do that in New Zealand. Actually, I forgot about that, and I had a friend stress out big time because I just walked out of the bar because I'd been living here for 7 years and forgot completely that. So I just kind of wandered out, drinking. My friends freaked out, like I was going to. And apparently I could have gotten arrested.
Right.
Okay. Can I play a band?
You can indeed. Yes, it's your choice next.
Cool. And I'd like to... We've got... At 4 o'clock, we've got the lovely Laura coming in, and she's one of our dear engineers who's been around for probably 3 years now. It's funny. Sometimes you think people are going to last 5 minutes, and they do. And then when people stay, they really stay at Resonance. And I love that about Resonance. Mm. And I love that how... you know, you're a show host, you keep coming back, and we love you and you love us, and but the engineers, they do the same, and it's really, really, really lovely, and people just gravitate towards them. And
great. So that's Laura, she's on at 4.
Yeah, and she'll be at the helm for the Curtain Up show, which is 4:30.
So what are you going to play next?
I'm going to play a band called Orchestra Spheres, and to me, these guys are the most exciting thing to come out of the homelands in the last few years. They're from Wellington, I think that's correct. They make their own instruments, they're kind of psychedelic, and...
what are they called again?
Orchestra of Spheres.
Okay.
And Dan used to work at Resonance when he lived in London as well. I'm trying to find a song that I actually like. I like them all, but one of my favourite, I'll do this one, I think. Okay. It's called 2 Million Years.
Hey guys, I'm Carly Kloss, and
playing
I just created my own website with Wix.
Hang on.
With Wix.
I'm skipping that.
Yeah.
Bye.
next track? Did we go straight into the next track?
No, well, it's kind of like halfway through.
Oh, yeah, well, okay. We can carry on if you want. But
No, I think it is. Okay. It seems a bit... Anyway.
So that was Orchestra of Spheres.
Orchestra of Spheres from Wellington, which is the capital in New Zealand.
Wait, what's Auckland?
Auckland's the largest city in New Zealand.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Where's that, the other island?
No, they're both on the same island. Auckland's more north of the North Island, and Wellington's right at the south of the North Island.
Right. So today's guest has been Sarah Nicol, who, as you might have guessed, comes from New Zealand. And you've been listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM on Engineers Week. And yes, so that was a young New Zealand band. Is there a New Zealand community here? Do you have a kind of, do you link up with people over here, or is it not sort of like that?
There is. My sister was really into that when she lived here. Not my thing.
No, not really.
Yeah, no. I've been here, 15 years now?
Right.
I've assimilated.
Right. Okay.
Just hang out in Peckham.
Right. Not Walford then.
No, I'd love to be an extra in EastEnders.
Would you?
Yeah.
Well, you should go and hang around the set, go and have a look.
You and me, we could hang out, have a drink at the Vic.
At the Vic, yeah. I don't know if they allow that. I suppose it does exist out there somewhere. Mm. All right, Sarah. Well, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you,
and sharing your choices and reminiscences of New Zealand. Do you want to just play out? We've still got 30 seconds. If you want to play a burst of some other New Zealand outfit or the end of Orchestra Spheres.
Oh, I know what I can play, because it's the sound I miss most of all. If I can find one.
20 seconds left.
Yeah, I've got one. You put it up.
Yep.
Native bird.
Native bird.
Yeah, the tui.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you liked what you heard and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.